When more than 600 wild horses were shot by New South Wales Parks Rangers in 2000, there was something of a public outcry. The culling was not received terribly well, and the Guy Fawkes incident, as it became known, named after the park in which the animals were destroyed, led to a statewide moratorium on shooting brumbies. Now, that moratorium appeased some, but it also left Parks Rangers in the Blue Mountains in a difficult situation. About 100 kilometres west of Sydney, in the Megalong Valley, park staff had been worried that wild horses might spread disease into Sydney's water supply. Enter Luke Conlon, a stockman who'd spent his life working with horses in the Blue Mountains. Luke, welcome to Bush Telegraph.
Good to have us on.
Luke, over 3 years you managed to remove the horses from the area. How did you do it?
Well, it was a bit of a long process, Cameron, because the horses were in, it's fairly rugged gorge country, and where we had to remove the horses from, there was no road access. So all our yards, our trap yards, had to be flown in by helicopter, and then we had to feed the horses for a certain period of time, get them used to the feed coming in out of the yards, so forth. And then when we finally trapped a mob, we'd have to work on those horses to get them to a leading stage, and then we'd have to lead them 4 to 5 kilometres off our own horses out to another set of yards where we could get them on a truck, and then another 40 kilometres out to Megalong, back to home, and then find people to take the horses.
How difficult is that to do? For someone who's not familiar with horses, how difficult is it to do that, to go through that process with a wild horse?
It is difficult, although, you know, they are wild animals, but in a sense, they're sort of, they're wild because they're wild. So in some circumstances, they can be easier to handle than horses that you've bred and had on your own place. But, you know, that said, it's a difficult job because of the location as well. You know, we don't have flash sort of yards with a sand floor or anything like that. We're working in the middle of the bush in a remote area. But the horses respond quite well.
Now, you weren't on your own. Joining you on many of your expeditions was independent filmmaker Russell Kilby, who, together with Amy Scully, is currently promoting the documentary from all this, Man from Cox's River. Russell, thanks for joining us. How did you learn about Luke and his story?
Well, Cameron, someone walked into my little office at work and just said, "I've got your next documentary for you." And it was Luke's sister, who I didn't really know, and she pulled out a map, and it was had the Wild Dog Mountains and all these amazing place names, and I just went, "Wow, this is great! This is my midlife crisis. I'm going to go off there." And she said, "Oh, it's going to be pretty dangerous. Can you ride a horse?" And I went, "Yeah." And so that we started, and that's been a very long and we've been in the wilderness ourselves trying to get this film finished and into the market.
So your midlife crisis came and found you.
That's right. Yeah, the story came and found us. And then the more we got involved, the more we learnt about the Burragarang, which is where the film was shot, which is out of limits for most people. The more we learn about this incredible area that was flooded for Sydney's water supply, the more the sort of spirits of the area sort of captured our imagination, and we just saw these amazing old photos and wanted to tell this story, you know, which is part of Luke's heritage.
What sort of understanding did you have, though, at the beginning of how emotive this issue is, this issue of wild horse control?
We were sort of naive and went where angels fear to tread. You know, this is, you know, it's amazing because this morning something's happened that Luke doesn't know about, but there's a Brumbie group in Queensland trying to get the film boycotted in a local cinema there in Ponoma. So, you know, and that seems strange. They haven't actually seen the film.
Do you know why?
I'm not sure whether they don't like that someone's actually worked with the national parks, or they don't like the way Luke was working with the horses. I mean, he's under a huge amount of time pressure, and you know, so he hasn't got the time that you need to work on a horse. You know, like, you can people have these expectations about horse whispering and stuff like that. You do need a lot of time to do that, you know, and Luke didn't have that time. It was he had a lot of people out there in the middle of nowhere with no support, and he had you know, humans had to come first.
Luke, how did the time constraints and the conditions affect how you worked with the horses?
Ultimately, you'd like to have longer to work with horses, but we had to do it reasonably quickly because of the cost factor. What was hanging over our heads was the fact that we sort of didn't want to see the horses shot, but if it took too long, then that was probably going to be an option because it would have been too expensive because it's so inaccessible. Helicopters don't come cheap. It was a fairly expensive program, but we were...
How expensive was it? Because it seemed, listening to this, it seems like it could be exceedingly expensive.
Well, actually, I don't really know the final figure on it, how much it cost, but compared to other programs, it was a fairly expensive program, yes.
Mm. Well, look, we'll talk a little bit more about how people have reacted to the program and the documentary, but let's hear a little bit of audio from the film. This is Man from Cox's River.
Unless we spook them or bugger it up, they'll come in. That's guaranteed. It's just a matter of when.
People have very strong cultural connections to horses, and I actually don't. I'm very wary of those attachments that people have to horses and how that alters their thinking. They can be very, very political, as, has been demonstrated in the past by some of the programs that have gone wrong. The feral culling operation is done to a very professional standard. I'm part of a team that operates across the state. I think there's about 42 shooters in total. Yeah, I have no qualms about undertaking that job because of the environmental outcomes at the end of the day.
Oh, he's gone now. To be here today. They're all night time. Now they're here in the night time more than anything.
Yeah.
Pull the gate and let it go. And she goes, boom, bang. It's all a matter of time, isn't it?
When we finally see the horses in the yard on the feed, then let the string go.
And the real work starts.
Yes, and it really starts to get interesting.
So that's an excerpt of from the Man from Cox's River. It was National Parks Ranger Chris Banfi, who features throughout the documentary. Finishing up there with me is Russell Kilby, who's a filmmaker and the distributor of the documentary, and Luke Carlin, who's a horse handler that features in the film. Luke, did this process alter your view in any way about the role of horses in the landscape and in the bush and where they belong and where they don't?
Well, it is a difficult issue, Cameron. The amount of horses that were in the country where we have here, I didn't think that. Like my original vote was to leave the horses as there was because there's not that many of them. There's 100 horses in 500,000 acres. They're in little isolated patches along the foreshores, and a lot of the country has sort of gone to scrub. It's not much grassland anymore, so they're not breeding up in the numbers that they were. But the park, have their philosophy that all feral animals should be controlled and other reasons. So,
and views differ, don't they, as to how damaging the horses
that's
are?
Right. Your view is not that if there's a lot of anything, it causes damage, but if there's a small number, it's sort of minimal, But if you've got a lot of, if you're overstocked of anything, it's going to cause pressure. But there's just not a lot of horses in that area.
Russell, essentially, is this a documentary about, or is it a story about how people with different views on the issue of wild horses can work together?
Definitely, yeah. It's a whole sort of cultural. I mean, it's Luke's listening, so I can't really talk that openly. But he's got these two guys, and it's almost like an old school Western movie in some respects. It's an odd couple situation, and they both interact and argue with each other a bit. And by the end, they've come to an understanding of each other's perspective. And I think that's pretty clear in the movie, that it's a sort of a reconciliation to some respects. Mm. Yeah.
I know it's been it has been screening in some regional theatres, a number of New South Wales, number of heritage listed theatres I see as well, and you've won a New South Wales Heritage Award. I don't guess that's a coincidence that this film is screening in heritage.
It sort of is actually. Now we won a National Trust of Australia Heritage Award, and we're the first first feature film to ever win one of those. So there's a lot of and that really award belongs to Luke because it's his heritage that gave us the great story. Mm. We just got really lucky, you know what I mean? It plays out in a very dramatic way, this whole thing. And even though we've given away a few spoilers on the show this morning, it really is worth seeing. Like, to see
you haven't given us that much, Russell.
Well,
Well, I'm still wondering what happened to the horses.
Yeah, well, okay, well, good. That's good. No, look, it plays out in a very dramatic fashion, and it's very moving. And Luke is very funny. Like, I'm just amazed that he gave us so much great comedy material to work with. I mean, it's a very stressful situation, but he always kept his sense of humour about him. Mm. So, yeah, it gets a few laughs anyway.
Luke, it'd be funny if you told us what happened to the horses.
I'm not sure. Am I allowed to do that, Russell?
No, I don't think so.
Go on. Russell, the general audience response, what has it been?
Quite amazing. Like, the reaction from people is just completely over the top. But some people are coming to see the film not once but twice and three times. Like, they're bringing their uncle and they're bringing their kids and they're bringing everyone. And a lot of it's got to do with a lot of honeymoon people. Went to the Burragarang before it was flooded, and they had a romance with this area, and then it's been flooded, and they want to sort of have a look at it again, you know, and they want to show their kids, and they want to, you know, it's just a great way for people to reconnect to this piece of country that's really out of bounds, yeah.
But I know some of the screenings have been in parts of the country where you'd say there's the there's a heritage connection with horses and their role in the landscape. Does it tend to be audiences that have that sympathetic view, or have you had some that are...
No, it's completely broad. Mm. It's pretty much everyone, and everyone comes along to the film. Anyone who likes to see a film about Australia and not about American superheroes smashing up New York would love to see this film, because it's about a genuine Australian character struggling with genuine Australian problems, you know. Mm. So, you know, I'm not trying to wave the flag too much, but, you know, it really does capture. I mean, we've captured a piece of history, and, you know, perhaps this will never happen again. This moment where people have had enough time and patience and money to go and rescue horses from a place like the Burragarang, which is, you know, it was the most dangerous and expensive horse relocation program ever undertaken.
Luke, are you comfortable with all this attention?
Yeah, it was a bit overwhelming, but I got used to it. We had to get used to Russell filming us too, so, yeah.
For a bloke that normally spends his time in the bush, that'd be a bit of a change.
He was good to have out there, actually, and when he first came along and said that he wanted to film it, I was a bit apprehensive, not because of what we were doing, but just because I thought we didn't need the burden of other people around.
Mm.
But then it turned out to be a good thing, and I thought it'd be nice to have this as part of the heritage, and it turned out well.
Well, it's still screening around the country. It's on in Victoria's Bairnsdale area tonight. Then it's to Melbourne, the Sun Cinema in Yarraville, and then it's back to New South Wales as well. I guess we'll make sure the dates are available via our website, the Bush Telegraph website, this afternoon. Luke, nice chatting with you. All the best.
Yes, thank you very much, Cameron. All the best.
Horse handler Luke Cullen. Russell, thank you for telling us all about it tonight.
Very, very welcome. It was lovely being here, Cameron.
That's Russell Kilby, independent filmmaker. Behind, the man from Cox's River.